The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to John.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
When it was evening on that day, the first day of the week, and the doors of the house where the disciples had met were locked for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you." When he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained." But Thomas, who was called the twin, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the mark of the nails in his hands, and put my finger in the mark of the nails and my hand in his side, I will not believe." A week later, his disciples were again in the house, and Thomas was with them. Although the doors were shut, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and see my hands. Reach out your hand and put it in my side. Do not doubt, but believe." Thomas answered him, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said to him, "Have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have come to believe." Now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written so that you may come to believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that through believing, you may have life in his name. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. I always listen, as I've mentioned before, on Sunday morning, the Working Preacher podcast. It's called the Sermon Brainwave, and three wonderful professors of the Bible who have different perspectives, every week they have a time of conversation about the scriptures. And this morning, they were talking first, not about the scriptures or the passages and talking about actually them, but said, what do we call this Sunday? The second Sunday of Easter is always this gospel. Easter itself reads from the different resurrection stories, but this Sunday, we always get this passage. And for many people, what they think of today is Doubting Thomas Sunday. I argue vociferously against that because Thomas is a big hero, which I preached, that's another sermon. But it's also called Low Sunday. And that's just it's kind of one of the business lingo when you're in church, which is Easter is packed. You got all the regulars, you've got people who don't come very often, And then the next week, everybody's like, oh, yeah, I'll sleep in. I'll watch it on live stream. You did very well today, by the way, showing up. But both of those kind of make this Sunday feel like it's, you know, lesser. That was Easter. That was important. This is just, you know, the people who are like, yeah, I have to go every Sunday. It makes my week. But really, if you think about this as a low Sunday, where you gotta focus on how there are fewer people in church, if you focus it on doubting Thomas, you're gonna come in this day and go, eh. But today is just as much Easter as last Sunday. 50 days, we are in Easter until the day of Pentecost, May 19th, and so every time we gather, we start with, Alleluia, Christ is risen.
The Lord is risen indeed. Alleluia.
Just because it's not Easter Sunday means you get out of having to do that call and response. But it's always this passage from the gospel. And it actually, Thomas and his doubt are not the point of it. Here we see the disciples locked in the upper room, and it is the day of the resurrection. That just that morning, Mary Magdalene had been at the tomb and found that Jesus was gone, and an angel said, he's not here, he's raised. Peter and John come running, racing each other to see who will get there first, and they walk back despondent. But Mary is there weeping, and a man comes up toward her and says, why are you weeping? And in the very dim morning light and the tears in her eyes, she says, where have they taken him? She still believes that his body has been taken by grave robbers. His body has been taken maybe by the soldiers to further desecrate and make a statement about Jesus and the power of the Roman Empire. She says, just tell me where you've laid him. I need to anoint him. And the gardener, which is what she thinks, says, Mary. And that's when she knows. This is Jesus. And in that moment, Jesus says to her, do not hold on to me, for I have not yet ascended. And I think all the time I've heard that passage in my life, it kind of gives the idea that as she reached for him, he's like, no, no, don't touch. But then I started thinking, what if it's more like when a parent is leaving and a kid doesn't want them to, and so they wrap around their legs so they can't go anywhere? Or you have someone you love and you're letting go and you have to, you know, the hug just goes on and the other person is like, okay, and then like, nope, that can't let go yet. In John's gospel, it is essential, it's set from the very beginning that Jesus is physical, that he is real. John starts with the beautiful prologue. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. The Greek word used there is not he was made human. It doesn't mean he just became a human being. It's flesh. That's why the translation. It means he that the Word became skin and sinews and muscles and organs and bones. That Jesus was physically present with them. And the resurrection stories, there are four appearances shared in John's gospel, two of them today, all of them involve Jesus not coming to them and kind of being apart and saying, okay, I'm here, now do your business. It's Jesus coming to the people he loves, the people who love him, Jesus is there as a pastor in many ways. And so Mary wants to hold on to him, and I have to believe that when he says, do not hold on to me, he means just let me go for a bit. Because I don't know, I want to obey Jesus, but I have a feeling if he were here right this minute, you couldn't keep me away. So that night, disciples locked in the upper room, Jesus appears. Now, if you're in a locked room and a dead man is in front of you, what are you going to think? It's a ghost. Jesus says, peace be with you. This is a message he gave them at the Last Supper in John's Gospel. The peace I give to you, my own peace I leave with you, not as the world gives, but as I give. And now he appears and he says, peace be with you. And Thomas wants to touch his hands and his side and says, I won't believe. What's the first thing Jesus does after this? He showed him his hands and his side. The word that was flesh is risen in flesh. Not a ghost, not a spirit. I cannot believe that when he showed them that they weren't all looking, that they weren't touching, that they didn't hug. When they have kind of figured it out, they're suddenly starting to believe and they're rejoicing. Jesus says again, peace be with you. And he breathed on them and said, receive the Holy Spirit. He doesn't say, oh, the Holy Spirit's with you. He breathes on them. This is a physical manifestation of his presence with them. Now, Thomas wasn't there. Because of Thomas, who says, we will go to Jesus even unto death, that he speaks up when Jesus says, where I'm going, you will come, I'm preparing a place for you, and you know the way. And Thomas says, Lord, we know not the way. Jesus says, I am the way and the truth and the life. Thomas, in my mind, is out actually taking care of the other community. Remember, there are lots of other people, not just the 12. Thomas, when he hears it, understandably says, unless I see the mark of the nails in his hands and put my finger in the mark of the nails and my hand in his side, I will not believe. This is not, I'm skeptical. This is, he wants that experience that they had. Jesus came and gave them peace. Jesus was there with him, with them. So when Jesus comes a week later back to the same room. Now, why does he make Thomas wait a week? You know, I don't know if he's kind of, you know, saying, get ready for it. But once again, when he appears, he says, peace be with you. He said, put your finger here and see my hands. Reach out your hand and put it in my side. Do not doubt, but believe. This is his teacher, his pastor, saying, I am real. I am here. Of course, Thomas wanted the same experience that Mary Magdalene had had, that the other disciples locked in the upper room had had. And immediately, it seems, that he says, my Lord and my God. Now, part of the reason the doubt in this gets played up, because it sounds like Jesus is chastising Thomas. Have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have come to believe. That's not a, you know, thing like Peter, I mean, Thomas doesn't have enough faith to really, he had to see physically in order to prove it to him. This is a statement to the people in John's community. those who have believed that Jesus is the Messiah, those who have followed now the teaching of the apostles, and they will not, until Jesus comes again, have that opportunity to hold on to Jesus, to see his hands and the mark of the nails and to put our hands in his side. That is not a statement of Thomas's belief is not as good. You know, it's better to believe without seeing. No, it's a statement to those people, and it's a statement to you and to me. Almost 2,000 years, believers, followers of Christ, disciples, the people who were, yes, part of that group of apostles, but then the martyrs throughout those first several hundred years, the theologians who kind of battled it out to figure out doctrine, the saints, they're just everyday people. People who are flesh, being present and saying, you can't see him, but he's right here. Peace in the tradition of the Jews, and certainly in the Hebrew word, shalom, is not really about war or peace or anything like that. It is about social relationships. It's about having a completeness, a wholeness within you. You know, you worship the Lord your God with all your heart and mind and soul and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. And when you do that, this is all encompassed. You are complete. When he says, peace be with you, he means we are together. The Spirit right now is moving through us all. So this is not about Low Sunday. And it's certainly not about a doubting Thomas who is to be kind of an object lesson. Don't be like Thomas. It is a sharing of the resurrection of Christ, of the realness, of the peace, of the breath, and being right here. Today is not something that can be dismissed. Today is the story where not once but twice we encounter the risen Lord. So I myself am going to think of it as Alleluia Sunday, Peace Sunday. Peace be with you. Amen.